Welcome to the Wine and Design Show. We are coming to you from Melbourne, Australia, and we hope you are having an amazing day. It is evening for us here in Australia, so if you're joining us locally, good evening. My name is Hiranga Gunawadana, and I'm here with my wife, Ashini Yalvis.
Hello.
And our dear friend, Roshani De Silva.
Hi.
All three of us happen to be architects, and we are having a glass of wine in the middle of COVID-19 isolation.
So, Roshani, you picked this wine. It's a Pinot Noir.
For those of you who can't see us, we're holding up the label to the camera. What is this one called, Roshani?
It's called Louis de Camponnac. It's a 2018 Pinot Noir from France.
We're leaving the pronunciations for you.
I really hope I pronounced it right, because I just made it
up. I think so. I did French in year 12. That's all right for me. I didn't do very well, mind you.
Well, I did French too in high school, but I was only for a year. Yeah.
For 1 year?
No, don't remember a lot of it.
Right. So for our audience, we want to point out that we are not wine connoisseurs. We're just trying this out. And as artists and designers and architects, we happen to come across a lot of wine, just that we know nothing about it.
But I think we know what we like, and we drink what we like.
We're about to know how to rate
stuff.
We're
not wine idiots.
Yeah. We're not wine idiots. Yeah, but we're not enophiles as well. We're just, and this is a learning process for us as well. And we're teaching ourselves how to rate wines and how to appreciate wines better.
Yes, rather than just guzzling it down. What I typically do.
Just to highlight, we are going at this full on semi-pro. We have a spreadsheet here with, I don't know how many characteristics, and we're going to rate this live, so this may go pear-shaped, and I'm assuming we'll have improved after the 100th episode, but this is our first.
All right, enough to that. I'm going to pour.
Okay, Ashini's pouring. Roshani?
Yeah, oh, I'm pouring too. So don't judge us too harshly if we're wrong in our ratings.
Don't judge us, but, you know, this is a French wine, so we're living it up here in isolation. Okay.
And I reckon that was loud enough, so we won't need to substitute any special effects for that wine pouring.
Okay. All right, I instantly smell berries.
Should we do the swirling? I'm just going to swirl it next to the microphone. I don't know.
What does the swirling do?
Look. I think it releases the aroma.
Oh, right. I don't tend to do that, though, because I'm not a wanker. But you know what? This actually smells really nice.
It does smell really nice. We had a diagram before this. Roshani sent us a set of information on how to review wine.
Maybe you can tell us.
We had to Google what those terms meant so that we were able to rate them accurately.
Right. So we have a color chart here, and this is some serious ruby going on.
It's quite light. And it smells quite fresh and...
Okay.
Yeah, there's like, I do smell berry as well, but I don't really know about the subtle notes.
If we're doing this right, we're gonna chink virtually, like.
Oh yeah, before, okay.
All right, cheers.
Cheers. Okay. Cheers by Zoom. Until we can all like be in each other's presence again in the hopefully not too distant future.
So because we're semi-pro, we're not spitting this out.
No, that'll be a waste.
Delicious. Look, I don't normally drink a lot of Pinot Noir, but I know you do. But this is quite nice. It's light and it's fruity.
And it's slightly dry as well. Mm. And I do, now I'm starting to notice the tannins in it. Now that we spoke about it yesterday. But it's not very tannic.
We had a full 40-minute discussion on what is tannic and tannin. And I think we've got our head around it. What was the definition, Roshani? The botanic.
They mentioned it was a bitterness on the sides of the tongue that comes from the skin of the grape, and when you swallow it, it leaves a bit of dryness on the tongue, and a slight aftertaste as well.
Yeah, I can definitely get that with this. I really like this, I must say. Yeah. I really like this. I would recommend
it. Yeah, I like it. I've had this before. And it was on special at Liquorland.
That's always a plus.
So I think I'm probably the nerdiest out of the three of us. And I'm literally on this spreadsheet just filling it out. On a scale of 1 to 5, from smooth to tannic, I think this might be a 4 on being fairly tannic. It's definitely light. It's definitely on the light side.
Yeah.
In you terms described of the lightness.
Full-bodied flavors.
I would, really well yesterday.
On the light to full-bodied spectrum, water would be the lightest and olive oil would be the most full-bodied. So this is definitely
like a mouthful of olive oil. Olive oil. This is quite light.
And it's not too dry either. On the dry to sweet scale.
Yeah, it's more sweet than dry.
It's definitely very easy to drink because of that. Because it's not full bodied and it's not really dry either. Definitely one of those easy guzzling drinks.
Yeah, it's definitely easy to drink.
Good choice, Roshani.
Yeah, not bad. Thank you. So if you've joined us by judging the podcast by its cover, you've joined us because you're either a wine geek or a designer, architect, or someone of that nature. We will be judging the artwork of this bottle of wine. So we've got a whole bunch of criteria here, and maybe we'll publish this later. Flavor notes, flavor profiles of this particular wine. I think it's definitely fruity.
We can definitely comment on the ease of drinking. I reckon it's a guzzler.
It's a guzzler. Yeah,
it's a guzzler. It's a guzzler.
So at one end of the spectrum, we have sipping on it, or we have guzzle it down.
This is guzzler.
Yeah. This is guzzler.
Okay. And I don't think it's the kind of wine you'd have with dinner. It's more of a pre-dinner, aperitif kind of wine.
Which is a good thing.
It's more for socializing, I think.
Why don't we just wind into the design part of this shirt? What do we think of the label? Because it happens to have... Now, designers will pay close attention to this. The label is textured. It's not just flat paper.
I know. I love the paper. The paper is beautiful.
It has got a very fancy looking font on it.
The font is serif font, which means that it's ultra fancy and traditional. It's not hip.
And it's also got a coat of arms as a watermark on the label.
Yes,
and on the bottle. It looks pretty classy.
It does.
And it's got, like, proportionately, it's got the proportions right. And the fonts, they're not quite overpowering and subtle and classy overall. And even the color choice as well.
It's a black and blue on a cream colored label.
Yeah, and the lettering's got a slight embossed effect.
And one thing that would have been really expensive is it's got a slight arc on the label. So it's not just a rectangular label, it's got a curve on it.
Well, we didn't mention the price of this bottle of wine, did we? It's the regular price of it is $15, but it was on special at Liquorland for $10.
Which is good value.
Pretty good value.
We'll get that good value from the Wine and Design show.
Something that... that I've read with wines is that you never go for something that's really, really cheap because that's just paying for the taxes on the wine. But it's always, you don't go for something really expensive as well because you can't really tell the difference between an expensive one and a medium one. Or most people can't.
Yeah.
It's so subjective.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good
It's a good mid-range wine.
Yeah, mid-range.
Good wine to start out through. So what our plan is at present, this being our first show, we hope to have a database full of wines that we've tasted, and I think our consistency will probably improve as we progress. Our flavor rating consistency.
And our flavor palettes will develop, hopefully.
Yes, I'd like to think there's something positive comes out of drinking wine.
Well, yes, there should be something.
Well, I think there are many positives.
One thing that comes out of this.
Yeah, this is all for about education.
This is not about us getting drunk, okay? Just to be fair to our audience.
And our parents, if you're listening in.
Probably also with a glass of wine, mind you.
Well, we certainly hope you are having a glass of something as well tonight with us. And maybe we should jump into the reason why we started this show, the Wine and Design Show, is because we're all stuck in ISO and need to reach out and connect with one another somehow.
And keep ourselves occupied as well, because we've suddenly got we've gone from running a rat race to having a lot of time on our hands.
Yeah.
And it's a hard adjustment, but I think it's an excellent opportunity for us to explore all of the things that we had no time to do. And
exactly.
I'm sure most of us, most creative people have lists of things that they want to accomplish, but they have no time to do it. And this is the best time to do so. So we should all take advantage of the opportunity.
So if you are listening to us from the future, post COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, and whatever else that comes after this, and you have clearly survived, we are in the thick of it in 2020, and it has just become May.
And we are currently at 3.3 million cases globally. Yeah.
Kind of sounds like this is like a pre-apocalypse mood, but we are in social isolation.
It is. It's like a dystopian reality, living in a dystopian novel.
Believe us, as creatives, we're slightly bouncing off the walls here.
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I think I'm okay as well. Funnily enough, though, like I feel like all of my activities that I've been doing, I've been doing it before COVID-19, apart from not seeing people. Everything else is just stuff that I just normally do on the weekend. But now it's become, you know, trendy to bake sourdough. But that was just a regular Saturday for me. And now, like, and doing stuff in the garden. And now buying seedlings is a pain in the ass because there's nothing left when you go to seeds and seedlings because everybody's doing it now.
Well, then so, buying flour.
Yeah, and flour is a luxury item. Yeah,
I managed to pick up some flour the other day.
I have a little bit of stock, but I'm running short of like bread flour soon. Yeah, what have you been up to, Roshani?
I've been up to quite a bit actually. I've been trying to learn the guitar for the past year.
Yeah,
and I recently found out, and I started on it, and then I just gave it up for over 8 months, and then I've just picked it up recently. And I found an app called Fender Play, which was quite widely known, but it wasn't free. But now it's free for 3 months.
Oh, right. Because of COVID-19. Yeah,
because of COVID-19. And
So if you haven't got discounted subscriptions, you should reach out to your software vendors because it's likely that you can get stuff for a discount.
Yeah. Yeah. At least a free trial period that's over a month, because if you're learning something, you kind of need to commit to a good amount of time.
Yeah.
So 1 month doesn't really cut it. 3 months is a little better. So yeah, so this is, I really like the way it's laid out and the lesson plans, how it teaches you strumming. I think it starts with riffs, like really, really, really simple riffs so that you can get your finger technique correct. And then it moves and it starts with like really simple songs, like two note songs, and then you progress throughout it. So it's really good. I've been doing that. And then I've recently upped my nerd game to a whole new level by mastering a Rubik's Cube. And I'm very proud to say, yeah.
Wow.
This is next level isolation.
And it's one of the first things that I did. I watched some tutorials, but it's really, really easy. And then once you've done it, and you've done it like 12 times, the novelty wears off pretty fast.
Wait, is there there's a pattern to get to solve it?
Like you just keep turning left.
There are sets of algorithms and steps that you need to follow, no matter where the blocks are. So it's really easy once you learn the steps and the algorithms, you can just resolve it. No matter how scrambled it is. Yeah, I can teach you.
Now I'm so disappointed in all this.
It is disappointing. But it's not just about the algorithms. It's not like you learn it and then you can solve it. You need to use your brains a little bit
You need to observe.
Yeah, to find faster ways of doing it, you just need to use your head a little bit.
Right.
So
okay.
It's a little better than just following the steps.
Yeah.
So I'm a little proud of myself because I've been wanting to do that since I was a child.
I've never solved a Rubik's Cube in my life, no matter how much I tried as a child. So that's pretty impressive.
No, well, that's because you didn't know how to do it. There is a specific method to it. I didn't either.
So just on the subject of algorithms, I'm assuming that they figured out the algorithm because they probably got a robot to figure it out.
I don't know, but remember that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness?
Mm, yeah.
That was from the 70s, right? The Will Smith.
Will Smith?
Yeah. He figures out how to resolve it.
I can't remember that in the movie.
I think that was like a small part of the...
No, that was the entire theme.
For all you artists out there listening in, it's all about perseverance.
Yeah, but he did it pretty fast.
Okay.
It's sort of nice also working from home because you get to spend a bit more time like preparing breakfast, and it's not just, you know, rushed, you know, cereal muesli. You can make toast and eggs and hot sauce. Today I made hot sauce. I never do make hot sauce on a Friday.
She's busy making hot sauce, and my mode of work actually hasn't changed. And I've watched the rest of the world flip upside down after coronavirus, and I've just been the same.
Business as usual.
Same everything old. Through webcam. We're allowed to have meetings, but we're not to have, not like, we're allowed to have face-to-face meetings, yeah, but just not in public spaces, not in cafes and things like that. But everything else has switched over to Zoom meetings, and it's been like that anyway.
For you.
For me.
For you.
Well, it's much easier. For all the creatives who are paperless, it's been so easy. So I've been paperless for maybe the last 6 years.
Well done.
Yeah, good.
That's
for you.
Awesome.
except it's good, except when you're working for a boss and they catch you on your phone writing down notes and they think you're SMSing someone. When I'm actually taking down meeting notes, I have to excuse myself.
I can't take notes on my phone for some reason. I really like writing. I really like using notebooks and paper.
Yeah,
I think I have a long way to go.
There was something that we came across a few months back, which was talking about how you can absorb the material that you're writing or when you're taking notes by hand. It absorbs into your brain better than if you're typing.
Because it's slower.
And you're thinking about it as well. I can definitely attest to that. It's worked for me. It got me through uni and studying.
I've gone slightly backwards from just typing stuff straight into my phone and started using the stylus. And I've literally started to get a little scribble journal because my handwriting has turned to shit after these 6 years.
Yeah. And also, I think because we're visual people, it helps to see it written down. When our brains process the information.
And when it's your handwriting especially, isn't it? There's also an extension of that. The speed at which you can respond to clients or consultants that you're coordinating with. So as architects, we have to coordinate with a vast array of consultants. And they were saying that the ideal speed of coordinating with someone is not at the speed of email, but at the speed of faxing. So if we had fax machines in this time and in this day and age, we might be better off for it, at least mentally more better off.
I think that explains a lot about engineers.
Yeah, I was just going to say, no offense.
No offense at all.
You are an engineer listening out there, please do not write back to us.
No offense at all. Each to their own.
We get enough emails from you.
Yeah.
A week later.
Sometimes. Yeah, we wonder why it takes so long for you to respond. Maybe that explains a lot. So that's all there is. Like, it's a personality thing.
So I was reading this thing where in the time of social media and where we've got so much things kind of intruding into our day, they say that you you set out an hour in your day or an hour or two where you just make a complete slot where you check your emails and everything, and then you reply, and that's it. You don't keep going into it because then you start going slightly crazy.
And then you don't keep responding to emails.
Yeah, because otherwise it's like continuous interruptions during the day. And I think it's called sandboxing. So you just kind of isolate it to that part of your day.
Yeah, like I understand, but it's kind of hard when emails that arise during the day are important and you need to respond to them at the time or else it's a lost opportunity.
But yeah, there are situations.
It has its pros and cons. It helps you concentrate, but especially when it becomes really overwhelming, like that. I used to have days when I used to get like 50 emails in an hour and I just couldn't get anything done. So I just used to close up my Outlook and then go off to a corner and hide.
The most literal execution.
Just hide. That's it.
Well, I always find the most productive time to do work is like after 5:30 when everyone's gone home.
Everyone's gone. Yeah.
Because then you don't get any interruptions and you just get your shit done. And all of tomorrow's problems are going to come at like 7 a.m. But
yeah,
a little bit, which is terrible. And
that's when Revit is fastest as well because everyone's out of the model.
So I'd really love to know how other artists are affected by all of this, because we deal with things in a certain way as architects. Like we have the documentation and the drawings and the working with clients
and coordination
Mm-hmm. But I would love to know how many emails they get flooded with when working with clients and things like that, because it'd just be interesting. I reckon I have this feeling that it would be much easier to sandbox yourself and just work on the thing and then deliver it.
I think it might be easier because it depends on the number of issues you need to resolve in a day and how urgent those issues are and like how time sensitive they are.
Yeah.
Like if you've got an engineer knocking on your door saying, look, this sprinkler layout doesn't work out and it needs to go out, and like at the end of the day you need to drop everything and that becomes a priority. But if you are working in isolation as a graphic designer or a I think fashion design is different. I mean everybody's got deadlines, but the number of changes and like having to coordinate with other people, it will be interesting to know how other creatives work in their respective environments.
So in the future, we're going to maybe run this live where we can get feedback from you guys out there who are working in all sorts of different fields, because we are really interested in how each of you go about your day in designing, and particularly in isolation, what's changed and what's new. So just write in the comments after we post this. We're assuming there will be some places to write comments.
On YouTube, yes. I know nothing about Spotify. But please cut that out.
This wine's good though, I must say.
I'm almost done. It's definitely a guzzler. It's so dangerous.
It's a guzzler.
It's not that strong.
Yeah, I must say
that. It's not that strong.
I'm not normally a Pinot Noir person, but this is pretty good.
I reckon I'm not an anything person as long as it's red.
Yeah,
I like the lighter ones. Like I'd have a Shiraz if I'm having dinner, but I always go for Pinot Noir.
I'm a Shiraz person, definitely. Okay. But yeah, I think I really like this. Shiraz is heavy though.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe I need to like eat something with it. Good one.
Thank you. I'm glad. I'd like to talk a little bit about Coursera and Skillshare and Death by Architecture.
What are you learning on Coursera?
I've started a course called it's called the Introduction to Classical Music, and it's by Yale. And it's really interesting. It's like, I love classical music and I've been listening to it. Well, I started pretty late, but I've been listening to it over the past 6 years. But I find it, because I don't have a technical education in music, so I don't really know how exactly to appreciate it. I know what's beautiful and what's not, but I don't know the technicalities of it. So I thought that this would be a great opportunity to educate myself on that.
Do you touch on like the theory in your singing?
Yes.
So a little bit of background on Shani for our listeners. Roshani is a singer and quite professional singer.
I used to be a professional singer. I used to sing with a female ensemble when I was in Sri Lanka. And we're called Soul Sounds, and I'm still a part of the group, even though I live here. It's a sisterhood, and you don't really leave it. So we used to perform a lot.
I just heard that as really sinister.
I mean it in the best possible way. It's not sinister. I used to joke. We all joke saying that it's like Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Yeah.
but having said that, it is a wonderful sisterhood, and some of my closest friends are friends from the choir, and we've been there for each other through a lot of things. So I absolutely adore them, and some of the best experiences of my life have been with the choir. And we used to tour internationally and perform quite a bit, almost every week in Sri Lanka. So since I moved to Melbourne, I've been missing it quite a bit. So I've been searching for a way of filling that gap in my life, and I still haven't found it. So this is why I've been trying. Yeah. which is why I'm trying to entertain myself by playing the guitar, learning to play the guitar. Now, to answer your question, yes, we did learn some of the technical aspects of it, but not in terms of appreciation.
Yeah.
So this course has been quite enlightening, and I've been enjoying it. It's free, which is the most important thing. And you can use it anytime you like. And the videos are all on the platform, and it's got plenty of other courses available as well. And I've actually made a list of different courses that I wanted to try out, from psychology to social sciences to music to architecture. So great. And
one of my other friends, who I studied with at uni, she was looking at the Masterclass series. I think it's literally called Masterclass, and having really catchy ads on YouTube. And YouTube is where I learn all of my stuff. I learn all my stuff for free from YouTube.
Yeah.
and there's Patreon, and there's all things like that. And she was really, just last week, she signed up to one of the master classes. And she's got the same list. She's got a list of all these different things like photography, architecture.
Yeah. Oh, masterclass is great. It's like, it is literally a masterclass, because you've got all of these famous people. Like masters in their arts teaching these courses. You get like Annie Leibovitz teaches photography, Martin Scorsese teaches filmmaking.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. I think Christina Aguilera does a voice course.
Yeah, right.
As well, a singing class. But it's not free.
It's not free. One thing about all three of us is that we're interested in design of all sorts. I graduated from architecture school, and I couldn't find a job because it was straight after the GFC in 2010. And if you were there in Brisbane, you would know that there were no jobs for graduates. So I went and got into DJing, and I purchased a whole bunch of equipment from London, got it shipped all the way to Brisbane, and I started learning how to DJ by myself. And I'm still dabbling in the area of sound design. And Ashini, you used to play, I keep getting this confused, is it a trumpet?
I used to play the trombone. It's a very different instrument.
I keep thinking it's a trumpet.
It's very different. It's a trombone. And I was very good at it.
It's slightly bigger, isn't it? It's the same shape, but slightly bigger.
It's a brass instrument. Yeah. I was really good at it. And trombone is one of those band instruments. You don't really... Unlike guitar, you can't really play the trombone on your own. You sound like a bit of whilst I liked it, I didn't really enjoy the band component and lugging this massive instrument around in the bus as a kid. So that's why I gave it up.
it's good training if you're going to become an architect, because you have to lug like all these gigantic physical models all the way to uniform. Yeah.
And rolls. At least it wasn't a cello.
Yeah, that's true. But it was too big. The bus was still crowded.
Oh my god.
And I'm a very considerate person, so it was very hard.
and because you can't, because you may not be able to see us, Ashni is very short. I'm not that short.
I'm not that short.
You're not that short.
I'm average. I'm tall for a Sri Lankan.
So all three of us haven't been Sri Lankan. We're not that short.
You're not short.
No, I think you are not short, but I think Ashini and I are average height.
We're average height for white people.
For Sri Lankan.
For Sri Lankan, we're tall because they're short.
No, I think I'm short by Sri Lankan standards, even though I'm
really?
Average. Yeah, yeah.
Are we the same
yeah.
height? We're pretty much the same height, right?
I'm 5'2", 157 centimeters.
Yeah, I think I'm exactly that height.
Yeah, we're average.
Average height, and also people always get us confused.
With our names at work. Oh, we Ashini and I. Yeah. Well, Ashini and I work together at the same firm.
We should say all three of us used to work together.
We used to work together, and then Hiranga decided on the same project. Yeah, and in fact, Ashini and Hiranga got me into this company as well. And which happens to be, like, it was my dream to work there. So, I don't know. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And I met them. And, yeah. And then now we're close friends. It's been great. Yeah. So, a little backstory. Ashini and I, people kept confusing us because we were the two Sri Lankan girls. And our names ended with an I. And our surnames also sound similar because she's Dialwis and I'm De Silva. And I don't think it's an excuse.
Really.
For people to get us confused because we're two different people, but it happened.
And I didn't realize you were 157 centimeters because so am I.
Well, no wonder people got us confused.
I think there was one point where they used to sit opposite each other on the same aisle, and I used to hear it like as a third person when people start talking to the wrong one with the wrong name.
Well, you know what some people do? Some people call me Roshini.
Yeah, I get Ashani. I get the opposite.
Oh, what the is worst. It? That is the worst.
As a creative, so, there is nothing worse than someone calling you by anything other than your own name.
Yeah.
I've worked at a number of offices, and there have been quite a few where they wanted to where some of the people in the workplace wanted to shorten my name down to Harry, and that was
it's so random.
That was
Harry,
but. By my standards, that was crucifiable. There could be no worse way to shorten three syllable name. But anyway, since then I've started my own practice.
The veins of having an unusual name.
So, by the ladies' standards, it's a guzzler. I am sipping it a little bit slower than that.
Yeah, but you're also a very slow eater, so it's very normal.
I like to taste my food rather than guzzle it down.
Meanwhile,
I'm completely with Hiranga on that. When I was growing up, I was told that I needed to eat faster because everyone in my family, we eat relatively slow, with the exception of my dad. But you shouldn't eat fast. You should chew your food. It's bad for your health.
Being a slow eater, and mind you, I grew up in Brisbane, in sunny Queensland, which is a bit more similar temperature to and weather to Sri Lanka. Coming here to Melbourne, being a slow eater means that your food is more than likely cold by the end of it. By the midway to the end of it, it is cold.
Yeah, for sure. And if you're eating like meat, there's nothing worse than cold meat.
Oh yes, yeah. It's like those fancy restaurants where they heat up the plate, and that is just necessary for every meal in Melbourne.
Nobody does that. Who does that?
If I could be bothered, I would do that.
The other terrible thing is cold toast, and how toast just goes cold really, really fast before you're done with it.
Yeah, and cold coffee. I had that this morning. The cup was cold and it was freezing this morning.
Well, my toast was cold as well. I think we're gonna have to do an entire subject on food design.
Ooh.
Discussing food and recipes and the way that different chefs make their recipe books. Because I've noticed they've started getting into like fine artwork and illustrations. And
yes.
As an illustration of the food that they are creating.
Yeah, all of it. And the creation of food.
Of photography. Yeah, food photography.
Oh,
Ashini, I was thinking. Yeah, it is. I can never, like, you take really nice pictures, but all of my pictures look really shit. All my food pictures. Your pictures look great. And I think you should go on MasterChef next year.
I thought about MasterChef.
You should do it. You're so good.
I'm a very simple home cook though. And I do it because I love it. And I do it because I like to take my time and daydream and
do
it slowly. But as soon as there's a time pressure on it, I probably will hate it.
I agree.
I love cooking, but if there's time pressure, I hate it. If I'm tired, I hate it.
Yeah. I couldn't do it either. Because I use it, like, cooking for me is therapeutic.
Yeah, same.
And when you're on the clock, it's not as fun. But having said that, I've tasted your food and it's delicious.
Well, thank you.
Shame we can't share taste through the literature.
Yeah, and shame we can't have a dinner party because I'm really
we could have a Zoom dinner party.
It's not the same.
No, but we can't taste the food.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can could.
At least we're all sharing the same glass of wine right now. I think that's pretty cool.
And those of you who can't taste the same glass of wine that we're having, at least you'll be able to see a spreadsheet afterwards.
If you're a spreadsheet.
If we do have any wine connoisseurs tuning in, that's what we'll have for you.
But I definitely recommend this bottle of wine.
Yes. I do too. So Is that three? That's three yeses.
I'll give that a yes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So it's a thumbs up from us, right?
It's a would we buy this again? Yes.
Yes, definitely. Okay.
Just a recap for those of you who may have missed it. Do you want to pronounce this, Roshani? Because I'm going to be hard. I'm going to hold the bottle up.
I think this is how it's pronounced. Louis de Camponnier.
Oh, that was
I
was
hope that's it.
That took the label justice.
Yes.
The textured label.
Yeah. Fancy French wine.
Are we going to give the label out of 10?
I must say, I don't like the label though. It's not something I would have picked. But that's because I think I generally tend to pick more things that look more punk than this.
Yes.
But I am enjoying the taste. And that's really all that matters because you can't read the label.
But we do judge books by their cover and bottle.
Yeah.
That is part of our criteria here at Wine and Design Show. We judge the bottles by their label.
But the wine itself is excellent.
Recommended, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it also says to serve slightly chilled with grilled meats and cheeses. That's what it says on the label.
Well, ours is slightly chilled because it's freezing.
Yeah,
it's cold. Yeah.
We're about cold. 7 degrees Celsius here.
Well, not inside the house, but...
Inside the house, maybe about 11.
But yes, we forgot the grilled meats and cheeses. I didn't read the label.
Well, that's for next time.
Next time we'll have cheese.
Okay, so on that note, till next time, let's keep those thoughts churning and those glasses swirling. If you enjoyed our first episode, hit that like and subscribe button and share it with your friends. Oh, and if you'd like to hear from us on a particular topic, jump into the comments and let us know. You can also connect with each of us direct on our Instagram and LinkedIn profiles linked in the description. And we hope you had fun with us. So to our next show, cheers.